You have to be able to communicate well with other people. Primary skill. If you can deal well with other people, you'll be a success.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. I hope you enjoy our interview with Mayor Dickinson.
Today we are here with Mayor Dickinson to ask him a couple questions. What skills or abilities do you feel students need to have to be successful in the 21st century as employees?
I think first you look at what's happening in the world, and there certainly will be far more competition in the future. We are in a global economy more so than ever before. It's always been a global economy, even in ancient times, but more so today. And as a result, there'll be a lot of competition. So a lot of our manufacturing jobs are going to other countries, which will mean we won't have the big companies here. Maybe we'll have a lot smaller, small and medium-sized companies, which will put a lot more pressure on each person to be very effective and capable in the work they do. So, you know, I think this one skill is you've got to be an effective communicator. You have to be able to communicate well with other people and be able to explain your ideas and work well with them in having those ideas become a product or in some way allow you to make a living. So that's one thing. Another thing is I think we are part of a demographic change, and that's a population change in this country. Right now there are more people 62 and older than there are teenagers. So there are more people 62 and older than there are teenagers. What's going to happen is, and that's without the baby boom generation reaching 62 years of age, there's going to be an avalanche of an older population with a declining enrollment in this public schools. I mean, we're looking at perhaps 600 fewer students in 2012 versus 2008 in Wallingford. So that will also increase pressures on you people, others who are younger, to be able to provide the leadership and the skills necessary to provide services in a country our size, with healthcare being a major issue. So real skills, practical skills, will become a real priority. If you're able to be a nurse, if you're able to repair an engine, if you're able to be an electrician, I mean, all of those things will become real priorities because it will not be the size of population to be able to absorb those kinds of duties. Along with that will be increased immigration, I think. So you will be competing. Everyone in the workforce will compete with people coming in from other countries who have real skills themselves, and they may be hungrier. They may have a better work ethic because they know what it was like in their country. They didn't like it, so they come here to succeed. So they will be all primed to take what work there is and make a success of it, which means that someone who was born here might not get that work. So real pressure in being a really effective person.
Now, do you think that technology will be used in the future and now in schools today?
Repeat the question.
Would you think technology would be used in school today and in the future?
Yes, I think technology is always a role. I sometimes think it gets overemphasized. Technology changes so quickly that what you learn today in middle school may not be the standard at all at the point you are in the workforce. So familiarity with it, you know, feeling comfortable with it is important, but I wouldn't depend upon believing that what you learn today about technology will be the standard 5 years from now or 10 years from now. I don't think that will be the case. But that is certainly an important thing to know about, and it's a skill, it's a machine, it's equipment that you should know how to operate.
Now, do you think there will be more jobs in the future or less?
I think there will be, with population increases, there will be more employment. But it will be perhaps of different types. I think in this country we will have more small and medium-sized business opportunities rather than the large corporations that employ thousands of people and there's long-term employment with them. That's where manufacturing has moved to other countries. And it will be a big problem because manufacturing is where you create value. You know, a few years ago they talked about the United States becoming an information society. In my opinion, we are in real trouble at the point we're an information society because information doesn't create value. It is taking raw materials, turning them into a product that people want, and they buy that product. That's where you create value. Information backs that up. Information allows that to happen. But is the transforming of raw material into goods, cell phones, or whatever you might think. So that's one area. Food. Food is going to be an increasing issue. As the world's population increases, the ability to artificially grow and produce food will become more and more of an issue. The desalinization of water and other methods of obtaining enough drinking water, big issue for the future. So things will shift, and then you have this huge population of older people. Who's going to care for them? Health services will become an unbelievably large component, I believe, in our society, where so many people either have to be in nursing homes or require care at home, doctors, nurses, hospitals. In my belief is we have a coming crisis, a real crisis coming, and this country is not prepared for it. So anything in the health area, anything from designing new surgical tools to actually providing care, will be a primary issue.
So what skills and abilities do you think students need to have to be successful citizens in a globally interconnected world?
Well, I think certainly effective communication. You have to be able to communicate well with other people. Primary skill. If you can deal well with other people, you'll be a success. No matter what you do, you'll be a success. So being able to deal with other people well is extremely important. I think having technical skills will be important. And many of that may come down to the engineering and design kinds of skills. Because, you know, we visit businesses in town, and often they say we need people with the skills to draft, to design, to deal with the engineering components of things. Because what manufacturing we have, the innovations that occur, require that kind of skill. How to take an idea, transform it into what parts you need to create a product, and then that product becomes something that can be sold. So engineering design capabilities are very important. I think language, knowing a foreign language. Right now we have a business opening in the downtown, translation business, to enable people to understand documents in English and provide translation capability. Well, when we talk about the expanding global economy, who's going to make sure that when I put in an order for a shipment from China, that where does that get dealt with between the Chinese language, the English language, what offices am I going to need, where am I going to have to employ people to provide that kind of capability? We have a business in town, Ulbricht Steel. They now have a steel company in Mexico, and they have one in Ireland, because they are looking at the world as their marketplace. How do they deal with it? I know they've taken trips to Russia, looking for markets in Russia. Language becomes a critical issue. Who's going to translate for you? How much do you understand? And the more you are able to know what that language is and be able to speak it, the better off you are.
Do you believe that children can achieve anything they want if they put their heart into it, or is it all about their skills that the person possess?
Well, I think the heart is critical. That's what puts the energy into something. It's not what you know all the time. It's the enthusiasm, it's your dedication to it that makes the difference. A lot of people have knowledge, but it doesn't go anywhere because they don't become enthused and dedicated about it. So absolutely, the heart and soul of it is who you are and the character, the dedication you put into what you do.
What types of technology should our students be proficient at using?
Well, it's every technology that you can think of. I think what you have to keep in mind, though, is that when you're in elementary or middle school, the time between when you're learning about the technology and when you would actually be employed using it is a huge time gap given the change in technology. So as you get into high school, it's probably a lot more of a critical issue, and maybe even after high school. But familiarity with it, getting accustomed to it is important, but chances are whatever you're using today will radically change by the time, 5 years from now, 10 years from now.
Now, is having a cell phone in school a good thing, or is it causing corruption in the class?
Corruption. That's an interesting word. Corruption in the class. Wow. I need a definition of corruption. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I think the classroom is absolutely vital to your success, to the school's success, to the teacher's success. So anything that disrupts that dedication of time and energy to learning is a problem. So to the extent that a cell phone becomes a distraction, then it's a problem. There's an advertisement on television, you've probably all seen it, but it advertises a laptop. And it shows someone in college sitting in a lecture room, and the lecture's going on, and this person is watching sports, and then they're watching something else, a rock band. And I'm sitting at home looking at that thinking, wow, what kind of a message is that? So we can ignore what's going on in the classroom. There's no need to understand what the teacher is telling me. I can be playing games or looking at things on my laptop, and exactly what does that mean in terms of the use of my time? It's a waste of time to be going to school. It's a waste of the teacher's time. What is going on there? That's a problem. And to the extent our society is willing to encourage this lack of attention, or any lack of attention in a classroom, is a real problem. Because, as I said earlier, you people, certainly, I'm under a lot of competition. You are going to be the subject of a lot of competition. There's no time to waste. Absolutely not 1 second, not 1 minute, not 1 hour. There is no time to waste. You've got to learn everything you can possibly learn. So, to the extent a cell phone gets in the way of that, not a good idea.
Now, do you think technology is an effective way to teach, or should teachers stick to a traditional method?
Well, I'm a believer that one-on-one, a person-to-person, is the most effective communication. I've attended seminars where something is put up on a screen, and you watch people, and within 5 minutes, the eyes start to glass over. Their thoughts are elsewhere. They're just not paying attention. But if you're in a room with someone and you're not sure when they're going to look right at you and ask you a question, that means, I've got to pay attention. I don't want someone embarrassing me because I'm kind of drifting off somewhere. I went to law school. And in law school, they have what they call the Socratic method, and that's named after a philosopher in ancient Greece. And that method is, when you come to class, are you prepared? At any time in that class, now this is law school, this is after college, so you're in your 20s, and you're sitting in a classroom, and the professor starts talking about contract law, and he says, well, Mr. Dickinson, in the case of Hebert versus Bossemer, What does that stand for when it comes down to consideration in a contract? And if you haven't read it, guess what? You're feeling a little stupid. So you pay attention, you do the work, and you're far more apt to learn because you are under that kind of pressure. So I think the teacher effectively communicating is the best method. Now, technology, can be used to augment that, but to the extent it becomes dominant over the teacher, I don't think people pay attention to what's going on a screen.
Now, there's a lot of discussion in K-12 education and the importance of content knowledge versus the importance of learning skills and students being able to construct their own understanding of materials and ideas that are new to them. What are your thoughts regarding how much we should focus on content knowledge versus focusing on students' abilities to learn, adapt, and grow?
Well, that sounds like education theory. I'm not involved with that, but I do have an opinion on it. And let me use an example. If you go out to play a game and a group of your friends get together and someone says, let's play football. And if only one person knows the rules of football, who's going to dominate in terms of making decisions for that group? You have five people, one person knows how to play football, everyone wants to play football. Who will be the dominant person to decide how you're going to play football? Well, obviously, it's the person who knows the rules. So, using that example, if you have a doctor and an airline pilot and a computer programmer all working together, and the question deals with when should you operate if you think someone's having a heart attack, who's going to dominate in making that decision? Obviously the surgeon, because the surgeon has the knowledge. In the football example, the person who knows the rules of football is going to dominate because they know the rules. So if we take those examples and then ask, well, is content more important than knowing how to learn or where to find the information? I think content, knowledge, is king, queen, you name it, dominates. Whoever has the knowledge, no matter what you do in life, whoever has the knowledge and they have it right there in their head will be the person who controls what happens. Now, the others can say, well, I know where to find it, but it's going to take time. Whoever has the knowledge first will be the person who becomes the leader. So my view is you learn everything you can possibly learn. There is no piece of unimportant information. Every piece of information links to something else. It's all linked. All of life is linked. Learn everything. And how to learn will take care of itself. Get that knowledge. That's my view.
And do you believe working together or working independently is more productive?
Well, I think it depends upon the assignment, whether independent working or working together. In general, you always want to work together with people, because if you're trying to accomplish something and you're the only one who is trying to see that it become a reality, you're going to have a difficult time because other people are not supporting your efforts. There are times when you'll be working more on your own in order to prepare something for ultimate acceptance by a group, but each thing has its time and place. So I don't think you can say one is more important than the other. But knowledge, every person with as much knowledge as possible is absolutely critical to success of any kind of venture.
And many people have said, when you're older and you finish college, there'll be more job opportunities. Do you think that stuff we learn in school will be useless and we'll just forget about it?
No, I don't. And I'm trying to think of an example of where I have gone back to knowledge that I had picked up before. I mean, it literally happens all the time, and a lot of it is, for me, law school. I mean, I learned, and law school was interesting to me because you learn the rules. Society is rules. We have rules to get along with each other and how business operates. You know, it's contracts, it's laws, it's regulations. It's how those things are interpreted and how they order our lives. Well, that was interesting to me. But you can imagine the number of times I go back to that knowledge when I'm looking at what the town has to do, or, you know, what we should embark upon. Because those principles, how you interpret the language of a contract, what elements have to be there, all become important in understanding what to do and when to do it. So you're always going back to knowledge you picked up. Here's another example. I found a little baby bird, no feathers on it. And, you know, a friend of mine said, oh, don't, there's no way you're going to have that bird survive. I thought, I can't leave that bird lying here, just gasping, he's going to die. So I picked up the bird, took it home. Now, I'd read some things about what you do for little animals to save them. So I went and got some puppy chow, and I moistened it with water, so it was real like oatmeal, and I started to feed the bird. In 9 days, one the morning, I had him in a box. Her, actually, was a female. The bird's in the box. I opened the top of the box. I was going to give her some more of the puppy chow. Out the bird flew. In 9 days, that bird went from a gasping, scrawny, featherless little thing into this magical, magical animal, able to fly. Just came flying right out of the box. I said, well, it's time for you to go outside. And that bird went up in a tree and then came down when I called it. And over the next 2 weeks, I fed the bird, and that bird would come to me. I have never experienced anything better in my life than that feeling. Now, where does that come from? The ability to see what opportunity there is, it comes from knowledge. Every piece of information that you can pick up, hold on to it. It's as precious as a diamond.
Which subject in school is most important, do you think?
Which subject in school is most important? Wow. Well, I don't know that I can tell you that one subject is more than another. They're all interconnected. And, you know, if you could say, well, English is the most important. But, you know, English won't tell you how to calculate formulas when you want to design something for engineering. But English is important for you to be able to read the principles of engineering. But engineering has its own principles. So each subject has its own special nature. Each one is important by itself.
And what was the best learning educational experience you have had, and why?
Well, I think the best learning experience was probably at the point I went to law school and was learning information that directly related to, you know, earning a living, an occupation. You know, it gave me the credentials to be able to be a lawyer. And it was skills that you learned that can be directly applied to actually helping people and accomplishing things. So I really found that to be very interesting and informative.
Now, are those rules that you learned, what would that apply to you as a leadership, as a mayor?
Yes, I think, you know, the rules of society, the ways of getting along with other people, those things are important in any position, but certainly important in serving as mayor in the community.
When we're done today, what's the most important takeaway message you'd like our teachers and students to hear?
Well, I guess, let me put it this way. It's basics. A zoo acquired a kangaroo, and they put an 8-foot fence around the kangaroo. The next morning, the kangaroo was outside the fence. So they built the fence to 15 feet. The next morning, the kangaroo was outside the 15-foot fence. So they built the fence to 30 feet. The next morning, the kangaroo was outside the 30-foot fence. And the giraffe asked the kangaroo, how high do you think they're going to build that fence? And the kangaroo said, oh, probably 1,000 feet, as long as they keep forgetting to lock the gate. Basics. Everything depends upon basics, and the basics go back thousands of years. Learn everything you can possibly learn. The great people in history were people with knowledge and an ability to get along with other people. They were able to effectively communicate with their knowledge, and other people then said, yeah, that's a good idea, let's do that. Those are the people that play a big role. But no matter what your role might be, you are important as a person. You are unique, you're special, you have a special look, a special intelligence. Don't waste it.